So we're here today with Chris Ottz of WDRB, a person that Payday Report has called the best labor reporter in Louisville. Chris, welcome to State of Kentucky.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
Well, I'm very excited to learn more. We get the general gist of what's going on over at the Ford plant, but you've been right in the thick of it. So for the sake of our listeners and viewers who may only have seen the headlines, tell us a little bit about what's going on over at KTP, otherwise known as Kentucky Truck Plant.
Right. So earlier this week on Wednesday, the UAW decided, of course, they've been on strike since September 14th. And they're striking in a bit of an unconventional way. They're doing a lot of things differently than they have in the past. They have a reformer style president who took over after the union had a corruption scandal. And they're trying to move in a new, more militant direction on behalf of their members. So the strike started about a month ago with just a handful of plants at each of the big three automakers. So, of course, it's Ford, General Motors, and Stellantis, which is the parent company of Chrysler, Jeep, and other brands. So the UAW has been taking this sort of incremental approach to the strike. They want to send a message to the automakers that they're serious, but they do not want to cripple them right away. The idea is that they keep negotiating, and this allows them to turn up the pressure. And also, they've said this explicitly, to keep the companies guessing. It's really hard for the companies to make production plans, sales forecasts, plans for how they're going to meet their profit goals, et cetera, if they don't know which of their plants, you know, maybe coming to a strike next, which is a little different than, say, a blanket strike where every facility is gone out. So with that background, you know, the UAW had been, you know, proceeding in negotiations, getting some wins, but still not really getting close to home with any of the automakers. And there's some dispute about where exactly they were with Ford. You know, you get two different stories from each side of the bargaining table. But regardless, on Wednesday, you know, they at 6:15 p.m., I'm cooking dinner for my kids. I get a text from a good source of mine, says, get to Kentucky Truck Plant as soon as possible. It's happening. I couldn't believe that, because the normal cadence of these things has been every Friday they've been announcing whether they're expanding the strike and to where. But the UAW leadership got fed up with Ford, and they decided to really deliver a gut punch. So if you could pick one plant in the Ford network that would be perhaps the most damaging to strike, Kentucky Truck Plant could be it. So they went out, they walked out about 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday. It's Ford's biggest plant. It's nearly 9,000 hourly workers, three shifts there, I believe. It's a tremendous production, and they make very large pickup trucks, as well as the Ford Expedition, Lincoln Navigator. These are high dollar, high profit margin vehicles for Ford.
So you said that they got fed up with Ford. What are the specifics of that? What are they fed up about?
Well, again, it depends on whom you ask, right? But what the UAW said this morning, their president, Sean Fain, did a live stream, and he said that they were led to believe that Ford had more for them in the economic part of the negotiations. So that's the core things, you know, wage increases, cost of living adjustments, retiree health care, the union's desire to return to traditional defined benefit pensions, all those things. And at a meeting on Wednesday, to hear the UAW say it, they went in and said, okay, we're tired of waiting. What more have you got for us? And Ford said, well, we don't have anything more. Our best offer is on the table. Now, from Ford's point of view, they feel like it was clear that their best offer was on the table. And as they said, they're willing to move things around for the UAW, but they feel like they've reached their limit in terms of the added costs from this new labor contract over the next 4 years that they're willing to take on. And so they're willing to move things around within the structure, but not to add costs to the deal. So that seems like a really big sort of sticking point from which one of these two parties is going to have to move for there to be an agreement. So anyway, it came to a point evidently where the UAW decided that they really needed to send a message to Ford that they're being serious, or they're serious about, you know, disruptions, and that they want Ford to move farther. And so that's what led them to take out Kentucky Truck, and by the way, to do it quickly. You know, that typically there's been more notice. You know, they've been announcing plants that'll go on strike at 10 a.m. and then walking them out at noon, and everybody knows that those Friday updates were coming. Well, on Wednesday there was no indication that this was going to happen, and within an hour they were walking out.
So when you got there on Wednesday, I mean, I've seen some pictures. What was the mood that you saw among the workers?
Well, but so believe it or not, I've not been out to the picket line yet, because that is, we have team coverage here. And so I've got colleagues who are out there doing live shots, talking to workers. But there's so much information, new information to report, actually, from, you know, webinars, background briefings, conversations with sources who are, you know, in Detroit and not here. So, you know, so far the most productive use of my time has to been here and to be going on air and explaining what's going on and the backstories, while other folks on our team are more than capable of getting out there and talking to workers, talking to union officials, and getting those interviews. I'd say the mood is, you know, I went to two practice pickets that they did before this all started, you know, maybe a month or two ago. And of course, you know, the workers who show up to practice pickets are going to be the ones who are most motivated, right?
Right.
But they are locked in with what the union president is saying, that these workers gave up a lot in the Great Recession. An auto job is not as lucrative as it used to be. Inflation's been very difficult for them to deal with. They used to have protection from that, and now they don't. They feel like they're not out to cripple these companies or to take more than their fair share. They're really trying to get back to what they used to have and voluntarily gave up when the companies were in a much more precarious financial situation than they are today.
Well, during the Great Recession, the other automakers took money from the federal government. And as I recall,
correct,
Ford did not.
Correct.
Instead, it basically dealt with it through internal means, including coming to the union and asking for some
yes.
significant concessions.
Yes.
One of the things that I know has been a sticking point for some people has been the tiered pay approach, where, okay, we get to keep our pay where it is, but new people get much less. Is that
yes.
part of the discussion?
It's absolutely, yeah, it's absolutely part of these negotiations. They are, you know, you'll see signs that say end tiers. The UAW, and, you know, to be fair, their previous generation of union leadership agreed to those things. And obviously times were different, circumstances were different. You know, one easy way for a company and a union to come to an agreement and be able to cut costs for the company is to say, okay, well, all the concessions are going to go on the new members. And when they're hired, they know the deal. They know that they're not signing up for what the legacy, quote unquote, members have. And so, no, it's not unfair to anyone. Well, the problem with that system is that eventually all of those new people become your constituency. right? And they look around and feel like they're getting the short end of the stick, or they look on the other side of the assembly line and there's somebody who's doing the exact same job as they do, and this person has retirement security that they do not have, or has health care in retirement that they do not have, or wages that they do not have. So the UAW is trying to collapse those tiers now. And the big issues with the tiers are, do you get any healthcare coverage in retirement? Do you get the legacy top? How fast do you get to that top wage? There's always been sort of a grow-in period from new hire to, what is now about $32 an hour for the average hourly worker who's made it all the way. But back in the Great Recession, they lengthened that progression to 8 years. So I talk with workers who are hired in 2015, 2016, and they talk about, just the grueling, long process for them to finally reach that bona fide UAW wage. So a huge goal of the union in this is to reduce what is called the progression, which is that grow-in period. And it looks like Ford may be down to about 3 years now, which is where they were back in the 1990s before all these cost-cutting measures came into place. But they still have other goals as well.
What about the battery plants? I know the
Yeah.
UAW got some concessions from General Motors, I think, about
Yes.
workers at the battery plants now being part of the union contract. But
Yes.
Ford is making a big investment in electric vehicles and battery plants, as
They
we know.
are.
So is
Yeah.
that also part of the discussion?
Yeah, all three of the big three are investing in EVs. And yes, the battery plants are a very thorny part of these negotiations. What the UAW will tell you, if you ask them, well, what exactly do you want with these battery plants? And they say they want job security in the EV transition. So the overarching goal is to prevent EV jobs from replacing traditional auto jobs. The UAW accepts that the industry is attempting to move in this direction, and they're not opposed to EVs on principle. What they're opposed to is the standards, the benefits, the workplace protections, and the pay that the traditional union automakers maintain those and not find a way to shed their union workforce and bring on a non-union, not organized workforce in this transition. The problem is that the battery plants are new. They're not part of these, they're not part of this union contract. And the automakers have structured them to where they're often joint ventures, partnering with Korean companies like LG, and in Ford's case, SK. And so the employer for the battery plants isn't even Ford or General Motors. So, the automakers will say, and there's truth in this, that, legally they can't choose UAW status for workers that they've not hired, for plants that have not started operating yet. So what exactly gets done in the context of this negotiation related to the battery plants and the EV transition is really unclear. Now, you mentioned General Motors. The UAW reported last week that General Motors has agreed to put their EV battery production work under the UAW master agreement. It's been really curious that General Motors has yet to confirm that. They've yet to say what that means. The UAW has been yet to say what that means beyond what they just said. Does it apply to the joint venture plants? What exactly are the terms of that agreement? And of course, Ford and Stellantis want to know that as well, because they understand that whatever General Motors has agreed to here is what the UAW will be expecting of them as well. So the battery plants are just a very complex issue, and all I can say is Ford has said that they are willing to work in good faith with the UAW on a fair deal regarding the battery plants. But again, they've not defined what exactly that means. And it's coming. I mean, you see it down in Elizabethtown and Hardin County right now. Those factories are going up. You know, that's going to be Ford's biggest battery production site. It's going to have 5,000 jobs. So this is a very real issue. Very live issue, and it's hard to see exactly how that settles out.
I checked your website, WDRB.com, before we started the interview, and there was a story on there that said, if I remember the headline correctly, that the UAW strike could affect other parts of Louisville. Is that saying that other people may take heart from this and decide to go on their own labor actions, or am I missing something?
I don't think that's exactly what that means. I think we're referring to the ripple effects there, of which there are many from Kentucky Truck Plant going on strike. You know, one that we're tracking really closely right now is that the other Ford plant in town, Louisville Assembly Plant, they make the Escape SUV. They're not on strike. The UAW is not calling them on strike. However, they get parts, body panels that are stamped by the stamping operation at Kentucky Truck Plant. So there's a big question as to how long can Louisville Assembly Plant continue production if they're missing these key parts from Kentucky Truck Plant, and what's Ford going to do about that? It's quite possible that Louisville Assembly Plant could be forced into layoff, and that would put, you know, another 3,000 or so workers in Louisville effectively on strike or on layoff, you know, depending on how you look at it. And then there's all the collateral effect. You know, there are multiple supplier plants, some are local, some are not, that serve Kentucky Truck Plant on a daily basis. So how those plants will be affected, will there be layoffs at those plants? And then you think about the $25 billion a year in revenue that Kentucky Truck Plant generates for Ford. A lot of that is retained here locally in the form of the wages of the workers. And when they're not receiving those wages, that money is not necessarily filtering through the Louisville economy. Of course, we'd have to have a long-term stoppage for there to be, you know, a real measurable economic impact, I think. You know, if it's a week or two, you know, it probably is not that big of a deal. But there's no doubt that Kentucky Truck Plant is a huge pillar of the Louisville economy. And so I think that's what we're referring to in terms of the impact is far beyond the four walls of that facility in eastern Jefferson County.
So I realize you don't have a crystal ball, and neither do I, but based on your discussions with union leadership and Ford leadership and all the things we've mentioned, do you see this as being, say, a 2-week stoppage, or do you think this could really drag out for a while?
You know, it's really hard to say, honestly, Bruce. So, you know, I can make the best educated guess, but, you know, people should understand that it's nothing but an educated guess. I think it seems like they're far apart. I think the move to escalate to Kentucky Truck Plant is that's a punch in the gut. You know, the union is clearly trying to move things along and say, hey, we mean business. So they're not satisfied with the progress that Ford is making. And you know, these negotiations are all closed doors, so you never know. I mean, the companies can always come in and say, you know what, we can't take it anymore. You know, we'll give you this, this, and this, and then it could be done really quickly. But it seems like there's a fundamental disagreement right now between Ford and the UAW about whether the costs that Ford will incur from this new labor deal are whether Ford has already offered as much as it possibly can or not. And I don't know who is going to back off of their position in that first. And because of that fundamental disagreement, I would guess it's hard to see how this resolves itself soon.
Okay. One last question. Since you are, as Payday Report said, the best labor reporter in Louisville.
Well, there's not that many.
Well,
So
that's I wasn't going to say that. Let's talk about a general picture to close out. I've been really struck by the change in the union atmosphere in Louisville and maybe even across the state and around the country. I can well remember, and it because I'm old enough to remember when we passed the prevailing wage, took that away, and took away these other things at the legislative level, and everybody was saying unions are going to die, they're all going to die. What's your feeling or sense of the union movement as a whole? Is it just me being wishful that it come back and be strong, or is it really changing?
No, I think there's absolutely something to what you're observing, and others have observed it. I mean, I think what we've been talking about this entire conversation is your traditional union employer, right? You know, the automotive industry and Ford has been unionized for many, many decades. This is the establishment of the union movement here that has always been and is not going to be weakened enough by right to work, for example, in Kentucky, that's going to make much difference on the UAW here. What we're seeing, though, over this past summer, is a whole bunch of new entrants into the labor movement. You know, coffee shops are sort of the best example of this, and it's not only the one-off Starbucks locations that are organizing, but also, you know, in Louisville, we have a local chain called Heine Brothers that has 17 stores, and their workers, some 200 of them, effectively organized and got themselves a contract this year. There's another smaller coffee shop chain in town that has also organized and is negotiating. We're seeing it at grocery stores, you know, both chain and locally owned. The service sector is coming to the labor movement. And honestly, I really think that some of this is generational. These young people that I've talked to, you know, in their early 20s or so, who are, you know, making lattes or, you know, filling grocery bags or whatever, they really have a positive view towards unions and worker power. And so there may be sort of a generational influx, I think, to the labor movement. All that said, if you look at the only statistics that we have on this, which is an annual survey that the federal government does, you know, the rate of unionization as a measure of all jobs is, you know, continuing to decline in Kentucky and nationally. I think it may have been a little bit stagnant in Kentucky the last couple of years, but the long-term trend is still clear. But I think in what you see lately, there's definitely a little bit of an upsurge in union activity, momentum, energy. And part of it too is the economic picture, right? With the labor issues, everyone's having issues trying to find people to do blue collar work, right? And so workers have more power in the last few years than they've had in a long time. That has also emboldened the union movements. So I think put all that together, and what you're observing is a real phenomenon.
I always like to close with this question. Is there anything you wanted to talk about or think we should know that I didn't ask you about?
You know, I always close with that question too, because I find it's super productive. And oftentimes you get the best part of the interview when you ask that. But no, I think we've hit on a lot of different things. It's just something we're going to continue to watch here in Louisville. It's been the summer of labor, so to speak. You know, we were watching UPS, which is the biggest employer in town, and they almost went on strike, but they ended up reaching a deal. But this UAW thing seems to be here to stay for a bit.
Oh, probably.
Chris Ottz with WDRB, thank you so much for your time and for your insights. And maybe we'll have you back when there's a contract.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. Thank you so much for inviting me, Bruce.
All right. That was Chris Ottz, a reporter with WDRB, who's been covering the UAW strike, including the newly launched strike out at Kentucky Truck Plant here in Louisville. We thank Chris for his time and for his solid work covering the strike and labor issues in general. And we wish him and his team continuing success in the important work of journalism. If you are new to this, we would appreciate if you would hit the subscribe button below and also the like button. We want to grow our audience for this show, State of Kentucky. And also, I'm going to add some links here at the in the description and on the screen to some other podcasts, videocasts that we do here at Forward Kentucky. And if you want to support the work, you can become a member at forwardky.com. Just click the sign up button. Thanks a lot for watching, and we'll see you again soon.